So glad to have you listening today, and I do hope you will stay with us for all of the program, and I do hope that it will be a blessing to your heart, encouragement, strength, as well as enlightenment from the Word of God. On yesterday, we were expressing the fact that in the book of John that we're studying right now, which is the salvation book, the main theme of which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to take away the sin of the world, there are many practical lessons for the saint of God and insight into people in our community, people in our churches, people with which we have to do. And we're in chapter 12 now, and we see some of that. After a person has been saved, right in the beginning of chapter 12, after a person has been saved, as Lazarus was raised from the dead and given new life, a person who has been born again is saved and given new life in Christ, raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, we find four things following. We find fellowship, service, worship, and sacrifice. We find all of these things in the life of the Christian right here in the first three verses of chapter 12. In verses 4 through 8, we find some other very interesting and enlightening things. Number one, that the true worshiper, the one who is sold out to God and worships the Lord completely, is often criticized by someone who is in their own group, someone right in the church where they are, right in the family where they are. There is someone ready to criticize them because they have sold out to God and because they are offering everything that they have to the Savior. There's been a great deal of that. I have run into it in my ministry from time to time. Fathers who disown their son, mothers who will not have anything to do with their daughters, and I've seen it happen many, many times. Whenever people get saved, the family expects one thing of them, God expects another. They follow what God wants them to do, and the family pretty well criticizes them and ostracizes them and puts them off to one side, has no more to do with them. Well, we can expect that because the world hates the one who serves the Lord. The world hates Jesus Christ as the Savior. The world does not want us to worship Him. The world wants us to worship, first of all, ourselves. That's the big thing. The world wants us to worship ourselves. And then, of course, the world wants us to worship the materialistic world in which we live. And so true worship will often bring criticism. If you have not been saved very long, you will surely find out very soon that you will be criticized if you sell out to God and serve Him. Well, don't be alarmed at that. You're on God's side. You know who the victor is. You know who's going to win the battle. You know what you're doing for the glory of God. You know that that has eternal values instead of just temporal or earthly values. And so stick with the Lord Jesus Christ through all of the criticism. We mentioned yesterday that Judas had a materialistic motive behind criticizing Mary for putting the ointment upon the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, this very expensive ointment. He had a materialistic motive. He carried the bag, the scripture says. He was the one that was the treasurer for the group. And without any question in any of our minds, he must have from time to time dipped into the bag for himself, and he wanted all in there that he could possibly get in there. And, of course, he had this great big spiritual motive given out that he was concerned about the poor. This could have been sold, and this could have been given to the poor. And, oh, how the poor are suffering. And here this money is wasted by anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've got a lot of pious folks around us and who are always making excuses for some of their actions. So he was very materialistic. I would warn you today, my friend, do not become a materialistic Christian. Now, Judas wasn't a Christian. He wasn't saved, but don't become materialistic in your life. Please don't just look for what you can gain for yourself out of this life. You belong to the Lord. You've got eternity waiting. You've got the greatest inheritance that anyone could ever imagine awaiting you on the other side. Don't get tied down with the materialistic things of this world and be so interested in making money or getting a position or laying up for a rainy day or whatever else you may be doing to keep your mind and your heart totally on material things. Really, I think the reason we're having so much problem in our day, getting people to the house of God, getting them to come and hear the message of the gospel, is because they're just too busy making money. They're not interested in eternity at all. They're interested only in what they can gain in this life here upon this earth for themselves. Well, Mary anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ for his burial. That was the reason she did that. She was not with the other women after Jesus was crucified, and the other women came with the spices to put the spices on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Mary was not among that group of women who came. She had already in advance anointed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, "She has done this or kept this against my burial." So we see that particular lesson here as well. What we're going to do for God, let's do it right now. Let's not put it off. Let's not wait till later on. Let's not wait till the opportunity is past. If we're going to worship God, let's do it now while we have the privilege and while we have the opportunity. Now, the worship of Jesus was more important than the Christian service to the poor. That's another lesson that we learn here in these verses. It's all right to help the poor. Nothing wrong with that. I'm sure out of that bag, many poor people had been helped during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. I'm sure of that, without any question. I'm sure that Judas would not have said what he did if it had not been the habit of the disciples to help those who were helpless. But my friend, it is more important that you worship the Lord Jesus Christ properly. And in order to worship the Lord properly, you're going to have to worship on the basis of right doctrine. You cannot properly worship the Lord if your doctrine is messed up. All of these people today who are claiming to worship the Lord, and they're just as false in their doctrine as they can be, denying the scripture, denying the virgin birth, denying many of the scriptures, denying the power of God, denying lots of things that's in the scriptures, and yet they're so pious, and they are supposedly worshiping the Lord, and down deep in their heart, they're only wanting materialistic gain. I could name some of that for you, but I don't think it's necessary. I think you can pick it out if you'll just open your mind and open your heart. Whenever you hear something or see something, you can know whether or not it is to gain material goods for themselves or whether they're really worshiping the Lord and truly care about the poor. On the program tomorrow, we're going to have more to say about the poor, the responsibility of the church to the poor.